Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is transfer deadline day. I'm Paul Machin, joined by Declan Carr and Dan Clubb to preview everything that will, won't and might happen for the mighty Reds before the deadline day ends at, I think, 11 p.m. tonight. And we're going to be discussing a little bit on Diaz being done, Divock Origi, Takumi Minamino and the interest from Leeds United, Nico Williams leaving potentially on loan, what next for Nat Phillips, having had a couple of bids rejected already. Could Reece Williams go back out on loan? And of course, the one that everyone's really waiting to hear about, Fabio Carvalho. Can the Reds get a deal across the line for the 19-year-old from Fulham before the end of the day? And we'll round up a couple of other interesting bits and pieces as well. If you are on Twitter right now and you want to check out the full show, we are live here right now. Just head over to youtube.com/TheRedMenTV. And we're going to be here for the next half an hour or so discussing all of those things. Let's start then with Diaz, just briefly. It feels like I've done chapter and verse on this over the weekend and beyond. Really, Dan, I've just made up that we've gone and got a very, very, it's a big deal done. I thought it was really telling Jurgen Klopp talking about how it's a player we wanted in the summer.
Yeah.
And it looks like there's clearly a plan in place to have him in as part of this squad. Mm-hmm. What that means to the players, I don't quite know just yet, and I'm sure we'll touch upon it. But they've realised that might have been scuppered, so they just moved quickly and got it boxed.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not sure how much Porto had a part in that as well, in terms of they might have turned to Liverpool knowing that we were interested in the player and said, listen, clubs want him now. Can you act on it? Because I think we paid off some debts Porto had owing to UEFA.
Yeah.
So that probably had a big part in as well, because Porto were probably very keen to get it done. But in terms of what it means for us, listen... If we wanted it in the summer, great. The fact we've got him now is brilliant news, because the firepower we've got now for this last little bit of the season, what is the business end of the season, is fantastic. And also, it takes Klopp a while to integrate players.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that now for the rest of the season with him and have him fit and firing, ready to go for next year.
I completely agree on that. And yeah,
I'm interested mm-hmm. at Barcelona. So I think we've just acted fast, identified obviously the target that we want and just... shot a for it, really.
Yeah, it's again, I don't know what this means. And again, it'd be interesting to see how people talk about Liverpool's transfer business in the summer. Mm. If there's a £50 million hole in Liverpool's transfer business in the summer, I hope it's quickly remembered that it was spent here.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can see him make a positive impact, because this is the thing, isn't it? Dan makes that point. There's a lot of games to be played now. Now, we'll talk a little bit about Taki. We'll talk about Divock. We've got a surplus of attacking talent now. But good, because we're in a unique situation under Jurgen Klopp, pretty much, where we've got the four competitions to play for this year, and the last time we probably had that was his first season, and that was Europa League football, and we certainly weren't gunning for the league title as well.
Certainly not. I think obviously it gives a lot of confidence to Reds fans as well. Like obviously a lot of people have been conceding the title and all sorts already. Whereas now, if we beat Leeds in the game and we're only 6 points behind, we've still got to play City at the Etihad as well.
Mm-hmm.
And with the signing of Diaz, and then if we do go on to sign Carvalho, which obviously we'll talk about later, it just adds a bit of optimism, really, to a fan base, which maybe some were lacking a bit of optimism, which is bizarre considering we're still in, as you say, four competitions.
It's funny how that works, really, isn't it? We're a mad old bunch at times. I mean, let's move things forward a little bit. We're going to talk Divock Origi next. The only news we've got on him so far, Dan, is that he's blanked out his picture on Instagram. Now, that could, like, be for some art installation that he's behind, as much as it could be a statement to his future. He's a strange one, Divock. I don't know. I talked about it a lot a few weeks ago. I don't know whether you guys got onto it, like the art house movie made about him, like this weird, like pseudo documentary about his life and his views and all that. He's very much a he believes he is where he's meant to be kind of guy. The universe will guide him, all that kind of stuff, which I'm not sure. Like, I'm not sure TalkSport are covering this transfer this angle, in quite this way, which is why, you know, either lovers or haters, this is what we're going. We're going philosophical on this one. I think he'll want to stay because he's got, you know, this is the last 6 months of his contract. There's talk that there's a clause that can be activated to extend if he hits a number of appearances. I think the way Liverpool have talked about him and Klopp's talked about him, but like he's a bit shocked that no one's been in for him in the summer. He's talking about he hopes his next manager is the kind of manager who will play him.
Yeah.
But there's nothing concrete around the Origi stuff. I just find that weird that there's not a line of clubs beating down Liverpool's door at the moment.
Yeah, with the sort of calibre of games he's played in and scored in, you'd imagine there should be a lot of clubs saying, yeah, we'll take him off your hands. Surplus to requirements there. Happy days. Plus, we're not going to ask for mega money because of the contract situation you've touched on there. I think he is out of contract in the summer unless he plays that amount of games. I think he's only played 10 times this year, so he can't be that close to it, no matter what that is, really. Yeah, he is a strange one. I think that's a very good way of summing up his entire time at Liverpool, to be honest with you. We all love him to pieces, and whatever happens, he'll walk away with his legacy firmly intact. But if I was Liverpool, he would be the one I'd be looking to cash in on now, in an attacking sense, if I'm going to be honest. And if I was another club in the Premier League, I'd certainly be looking to buy him, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, it just feels like there's an opportunity for a club. There must be a number of clubs, and I guess it boils down to whether Divock wants to play for them, because he's gone and played for struggling sides. He's played for sides that aren't great and don't have the same level of training facilities and, you know, and passionate fans and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's putting me at a bit of a disrespect to the teams he's gone to. But the more to the point, maybe there's just a case of the clubs that would definitely have him. He'd rather just do 6 months at Liverpool and train and earn decent money and continue to live in his house and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and as we mentioned before, obviously we're still in four competitions. So if he can get, like, say, two more medals, even one more medal, would you not rather do that than go to, like, someone like, no disrespect, but to like Wolves or Newcastle or something? Who, like, Newcastle in a relegation, so like Wolves not really going to probably win anything this season. I think
the Newcastle stuff's mad. Why have they bought Chris Wood when they could have spent that money? Yeah. I'm certain that money gets you Divock Origi.
Oh, 100%. Oh, twice.
Yeah.
But Deck's right, just to pick up on that. Like, Origi might well just be very content. And I think we've been quite lucky that Origi has been content for so long to stay and play a part at Liverpool and not really feature much. And you sort of alluded to it there in terms of he believes the universe is where he wants him to be. We're lucky that's the case with him, because otherwise a lot of players would have been angling for this move 18, 24 months ago. So the fact that he's been able to sit and wait patiently on the bench at Liverpool and come on and just produce mad moments has been glorious for us.
Yeah, I love Divock, I genuinely do, and I'd keep him around, I'll be honest. And the point I was making yesterday is there's just an algorithm, the Divock Origi algorithm, as it were, and it's how much is a club prepared to pay for him now, losing him for nothing in the summer, and then also what he might win you in just last minute goals in this final period of the season. And if he wins you a piece of silver, if he wins the League Cup off the bench, or he comes in and he gets you, even if he gets you into a quarter-final or a semi-final of the Champions League, that's almost more money than you would get for selling him. So he pays for himself.
I think, as you say, like you've just mentioned, like Divock Origi coming on and scoring last-minute goals. We'll look at Wolves this season away. We did not look like, as much as we created all them good chances, it looked like it was just one of them days where you drop points, you lose a bit of momentum in the title charge and that. But he come on and scored that, I think it was the 94th-minute winner. So say that could obviously end up winning us the league if we beat City by 3 points to the league title.
Yeah.
But also, who says he's not going to do it again if we keep him around?
Absolutely on that one. It's a tricky situation for Divock. But again, there's no, at the moment, as we sit here Monday morning, doesn't look like there's anything concrete going on at the moment. We've actually got a little bit of breaking news, which we can go to right now. Kiefer O'Neill, formerly of the Echo, now of the Athletic, reporting Liverpool defender Nico Williams unlikely to move out on loan today, despite reports linking him with a move to Bournemouth. The Athletic understands. We were going to talk about that a little later on, but we'll jump ahead to that one. Dan, he apparently cut short a holiday in Dubai to discuss his options with his representatives. Nico Williams has been a really unusual case, I think, over this last 8 months or so, going back to the summer. I was at the Euros with Wales, and there's a lot of talk about him wanting to move. This surprised me because it seemed very much the word this morning, and it, you know, we've seen tweets this morning, Neil Jones kind of put it, it seemed very likely he was just going to complete this Bournemouth loan move. That felt to me like a weakening of the squad, because yes, getting time for Milner at right back, and we know he's capable. Conor Bradley, I think, is still a little too soon for him. Nico is, I think he's really grown this season. You know, in the not loads of opportunities, and he got a little unlucky with injury, I think, at the early doors. But yeah, I wouldn't like to see him go out on loan at the moment.
No, I'd probably agree with you. I think he's done well when he's been called upon. Obviously, he gets that assist in the 5-0 at Watford. He does really well against Leicester in the Cup as well. So he has been impressive. This has always felt like, and you touched on it there, him wanting to go and play football, which you can't really knock him for. He's probably looking at the situation at Liverpool. And he's added a bit of versatility to his game now, which gives us more options. He's played more advanced. He's played from the left. But he wants to play football, you can just tell. And he's looking at Trent and thinking, I've got absolutely no chance. And rightly so you can't really blame him.
Yeah, and he's getting a lot of Welsh pressure, isn't he, Dec? You know, he's going away into that camp. And it's mad because I think you get this a lot of times from countries like Wales, and the manager say, oh, needs to play, he's in my plans. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, it's Wales. Like, and a great country, great people. But the national side will play whoever's available to them. You know what I mean? And the Republic have this, and the Northern Ireland have this, and Scotland have this to some extent as well, where there's lads who play all over, you know, like down the pyramids.
Yeah.
Yes, I know they're playing, but Nico Williams, his quality means he's going to play regardless. And the level of training that he's at, I don't know. I think it's a little overstated, but I understand that he's being pulled in these directions because his international career has gone fantastically well so far, and he probably doesn't want to see that stumble.
Yeah, I think it comes back to what Dan said, really. Like, he's probably looking at Trent and thinking, I'm not getting in past you, am I, let's be honest. And he'd probably make it in most of the Premier League teams. I think Southampton were apparently interested in him like at the start of the season, but obviously then he went with Livramento.
Yeah.
Who's looked fantastic. But yeah, and I think he probably moves in the summer if he's going to move personally, because we don't have that kind of backup for Trent, and some people don't like Neco. Personally, I think he's decent backup. No, not more maybe, but he is decent backup, do you know what I mean? But I just can't see him moving because it just weakens us.
Yeah. We've got a little bit to come, some breaking news on Carvalho, which we'll talk through a little later in the show. Don't worry, we're saving the big guns, the thing we're all excited about, but we want to get through the other bits and pieces before we do get to that, of course. We have got a super chat that's come in. Let me just quickly find that. From William Rigby, with £5. Thank you so much, William. Says, I think Newcastle bought Chris Wood because of their relegation scrap with Burnley. Loving the stream and up the Reds. I think that's actually a really interesting point.
Fantastic rival.
And that's why the whole thing's a bit mad, isn't it? Like, Burnley choosing to weaken themselves. I mean, again, if they get, it's Weghorst, I think they're trying to get over the line, isn't it?
Yeah, about Weghorst.
Yeah, I mean, fair play, I guess. But, I mean, yeah, I suppose that is correct. But, yeah, Newcastle are a proper basket case, aren't they, in terms of their business? Because there's part of them, and this is why I like the Nat Phillips stuff as an example. Liverpool have had a bid. Liverpool have apparently turned down like loan offers from Newcastle for Nat Phillips. Deck, for me, he ticks Newcastle's boxes perfectly. I think he's good enough to keep them in the Premier League. But if the worst comes to the worst, and you've got him on a decent contract, he's more than good enough to get you out of the Championship as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I think obviously we've seen last season when he was forced to come in and play for Liverpool first team, he wasn't really phased. He looked arguably, I'd say, the better of the two out of him and Kabak.
And definitely
out of him and Williams as well, obviously. So I think he's shown he can play at this level to a very good standard. He can play the ball out from the back, which I think is what Eddie Howe wants as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't see why Newcastle wouldn't go all out for him myself. If you can get him for, like, they're getting Dan Burn for, like, 13 million odd.
Yeah.
I'd argue he's as good, if not better, especially, like, playing the ball out and stuff.
Well, that's interesting because there's obviously a lot of benchmarking that goes on in transfers and stuff. Liverpool apparently looking for between 12 and 15 million for Nat Phillips. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's an unrealistic sum because, of course, the market's been stretched. And Man United did this. Well, Liverpool did this with Van Dijk, and then Leicester did it by absolutely taking United to the cleaners with Harry Maguire. But then, of course, Ben White being added to that from Arsenal.
50, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, so I think there's a weird... We always do this with Nat Phillips. We always, like, damn him with faint praise rather than just saying he's a really good centre-half.
Yeah.
You know, I said this when he was having that run last season. If Liverpool had owned him 15 years earlier... He would be a nailed-on starter for Liverpool. It's just the footy's moved on, and Liverpool have moved on, and Liverpool's level has changed a little bit in that time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Newcastle and Watford have had bids rejected for Nat Phillips already. It remains to be seen whether there'll be some more movement on him. Yeah, a little bit later on today, of course. Right, we're going to take a very short break. Get your comments, thoughts in. Anyone you want us to discuss, any thoughts, feelings. We're going to be doing Taki Minamino, Reece Williams, Leighton Clarkson, and Fabio Carvalho after this. Hey everyone, Mate here. If you're enjoying this podcast, then do go and check out Red Men Plus, our Liverpool streaming service, giving you tons of extra podcasts each and every month. There's Journo Insight, there's the Around the League show, the Debate show, the Opposition preview, and interviews with Liverpool legends past and present as well. Tons of content to keep you occupied, keep you busy, thrilled, entertained, and go deeper on Liverpool FC culture. Head to theredmentv.com. Sign up and join us on Red Men Plus.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, we are here chatting deadline day for the Reds. We've already gone through a number of Liverpool players. Divock Origi was the last major one we were chatting, but a little bit of an update on Nico Williams. Seems unlikely that he will move to Bournemouth on loan. That looked nailed on just this morning, but no, that looks like it's likely to be ground to a halt. We talked a little bit about Diaz as well. And the likelihood of Nat Phillips. Still no concrete offer to Liverpool's liking. There was rumours, again, last week of a loan with an obligation to buy or an option to buy. Again, as of yet, Liverpool have only rejected bids for Nat Phillips. Nothing confirmed. We're going to talk Taki Minamino, Reece Williams, Leighton Clarkson and Fabio Carvalho now. We did have a super chat, actually, while we were away. I just want to say thank you. Actually, Rachel Todd has joined as a first team member here on YouTube. Thank you so much. And we had a super chat. There it is. From Shabib Khan. Really loved the Egypt game. Salah playing like prime Maradona for them. Taking them to the final single-handedly. Media is biased for the Euros.
Can I just take this one? It's just unstoppable. And like, he's inevitable. Like, I see there's loads of tweets, right? And I just want to call these people out. Because these dopes, right? At the start, when the manager was playing him as a bloody was a target man. And they were all like, oh, Salah's this, Salah's that, he can't influence games, like Hazard can and all this, whatever. Just go away. just go away and
just let him like, let him be Mo Salah.
What's he meant to when the manager's playing him a target man? We've seen him now in his proper role and what he can do. Do you know what I mean?
It is funny. Like I watched a little bit of the Senegal game and I realised I don't really care. So stop watching it, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, obviously everyone was glowing. Colo Torre waxing lyrical about Sadio Mane. It was a good watch at half time for a little bit. But yeah, it was I was more turned off by the fact that Jermaine Genus was hosting the whole thing. Rubbish. Absolutely rubbish. Honestly, BBC, I've been doing this for 12 years now. I'm not saying that I'm world class, but I'm a much better presenter than Jermaine Genus. That's just
come and get me, play on.
Honestly, yeah. Get that in the yellow bar.
BBC.
Jesus Christ. He's digress, but he's talking to Colo Torre and he's got Nedim Manua there, who's brilliant, by the way. And he turns to him and goes, "So, Nedim, like from a defender's perspective," and then he realises that he's been talking to Colo Torre and he goes, "I know Colo Torre was a defender as well, but I've got no other way of segueing over to Nedim Manua to talk about this." Like, oh my god. Oh, anyway, Gerard Carra is off the super chat in here. Says, "Not exactly transfer news, but I've been told by someone solid that Millie is leaving this summer for Leeds, but has been told he can return as backroom staff." That is the
That's a great move for me.
Yeah.
Like, he's not good enough now to get in the team every week. Obviously, he provides you a bit of like cover sometimes when someone's injured or whatever, but I think that makes sense, really. Like, he loves Leeds, and he goes back there, plays for like a season two, and then comes back to the Reds as a backroom staff member. Perfect.
I was thinking about this as a random thought. I was chatting to a journalist the other day and talking about like Liverpool's coaching staff, and it was about like Pep Linders. It was like, he's just the ultra optimist, and I reckon people would get wound up with just having that all the time. So you need, and the thing Klopp's a very optimistic guy, but he's also really angry underneath. So when he wants to let it out, he can let it out. And there's a lot of just lovely people in Liverpool's training. You know, like, I've met a few of them and done a bit of work with them. They're all hyper optimistic people. I reckon Pep Linders with Milner as his assistant manager would be, oh, like, that's what you've got. You've got your general there to go and bollock people.
Yeah, you need that.
You need your pessimist around there to keep everyone grounded. But yeah, it would be a shame for Millie to move on. But I think we've seen, haven't we, this season?
I think it happens. Yeah, I think that. Maybe not that necessarily, that move and back, but I do think Milner leaves regardless, let's be honest.
Yeah, and fair play. And he goes with the highest of regard from all of us. I mean, he'll go, hopefully, with his record for a number of assists in a single Champions League campaign intact as well, which would be great. Right, Sam, we are going to talk Taki Minamino. Leeds interested, Dan. There were rumours that over the weekend of a 17-odd million pound bid, which is like, you'd bite the frigging hand off for that kind of money. However, some major stumbling blocks to this one. Most of all being that he doesn't want to go to Leeds. But there's a fascinating one here, and it's being reported via the Express, one of the Express's journals, sorry. Taki Minamino is obviously a player they're looking at, talking about Leeds. Minamino's currently away with Japan. The issue any club looking to do business with Liverpool for Minamino have is that, because of COVID, foreign nationals cannot enter Japan at the moment to undergo medical. He's over there on international duty at the moment. Says, given the time at the moment to get a delegate out to Japan to conduct a medal would be a problem anyway. But since the signing of Luis Diaz, Liverpool have altered their stance on Origi and Minamino. Mm-hmm. Leeds asked the question and asked whether Minamino will be available this month, is the report from, I think it's Ryan Taylor, who's talked about that. Yeah. He's definitely, I'm certain he'd be available. He is the most surplus to requirements of all Liverpool's forward options, I feel, particularly now that Diaz is there. Do you agree? Do you disagree?
That's a really, really difficult one, in my opinion. I don't think it's quite as cut and dried in that. It's out of him and Origi, obviously. There's absolutely no two ways about that. But I just feel like with the contract situation that Origi's in, which we already spoke about, and obviously Minamino's got that bit extra versatility. So I would probably slightly pin that the other way around in terms of Origi. But that's very much my opinion, enough for debate, obviously. Sure. In terms of the 17-odd million, oh, God, I'd walk him to Leeds, and that's quite a long way. But I would, and I like him. I don't think he's ever quite going to make the grade as a Liverpool first-team player. I don't think that's too outrageous to say. Obviously, we signed him for just over seven, so you're looking at 10 million profit, some decent goals in that time, some big moments. The Leicester Cup game in particular springs to mind. Yeah, listen, it probably hasn't quite worked out as we'd have hoped. It was a bit of a no-brainer signing. Obviously, did well against us in the Champions League. You obviously look at the market we're signing from as well. You know, you do well out there regardless. But yeah, there are complications, obviously, in getting any deal done. We were relatively fortunate that we acted on the Diaz deal a couple of days ago and not today.
Yeah.
Because getting out to South America and doing all that in a day would have been as almost as difficult as that. You know what I mean? So we've acted swiftly and got it done. I don't know if Leeds will be able to do the same. Obviously, we've seen Minamino go on deadline day last year. Mm-hmm. When we brought in Kabak and Davis, we saw Minamino go to Southampton. So maybe something similar happens. I just don't see us losing both Origi and Minamino. I think it's one or the other.
I think there's major conversations to be had around who goes out of our existing forward options, and it might extend beyond Minamino and Origi. But I would be surprised, Deck, if both of them will Liverpool players come the start of next year. I mean, Divock's contract is up, so unless they do something wild, unless he plays every game between now and the end of the season, that's going to be a hard one to get across the line. It's just Taki just doesn't really fit, does he? He's got a very... It's a bit Shaqiri in that he doesn't actually fit our system, but the thing that Shaqiri had going for him was that he had a quality about him. You could bring him in and you knew he'd have an impact. And maybe I'm being disrespectful because Minamino scored, I was joking before in the office, he scored more goals for Liverpool and in this season alone than a lot of lads who I consider to be like cult heroes of mine, you know, and we've had songs for lads worse than Taki Minamino. Joe Cole had a song for fuck's sake, you know. So yeah, I don't know. Where'd you fall down on what Liverpool?
I mean,
he's
the Carabao Cup Messi, isn't he? But you know, that's about
yeah, it's unstoppable.
But that's about all it's really come to. Like, he hasn't really kicked on in the league, even after the loan at Southampton, which I think was like meant to like toughen him up and get him used to like the rigors of Premier League football. But he hasn't really kicked on apart from in like the Carabao, say. I know we got that tapping against Arsenal, but like, I would have scored that looking the other way. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But yeah, I think if either of them were here at the start of next season, I'd be very surprised. But I think I'd also be very surprised if either of them moved today with how tight the deadline is. And also just like, if one of these, like say Diaz and Jota are both injured at the same time, then you've only got three options then. And it's like, you maybe need that extra man.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've seen it. The only thing with Minamino, of course, is that we've seen this month, Dan, he's not really in consideration for that right-hand side. And look, even when Salah's back, Salah will play it obviously more often than not. And he's clearly behind all the other lads in the pecking order for centre-forward and for left-hand side. He's behind Jota, he's behind Firmino, and they in themselves are sometimes behind other lads. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't... If he's got a long-term future at Liverpool, we hoped this might be the tell to see what that was like, and it hasn't been really. I mean, four goals and an assist in five games in the League Cup in 387 minutes worth of footy is absolutely astonishing.
Yeah.
But
it's the rest of the form that's not so astonishing, really. Yeah. Yeah, you're dead right. And there's been times, you know, since he's been at the club whereby you're looking at the bench almost to try and impact the game and change the game, and Klopp overlooks Minamino a lot.
Yes.
Even when he's making that attacking substitution, he'll do something else to try and influence the match, and it's very rarely Minamino, and that's pretty telling and damning of where he's at, in my opinion. And this month in particular, you mentioned it there, Origi was injured all month, and we had the AFCON lads away, and we still barely saw Minamino, you know, and that pretty much sums up his Liverpool career. And I don't believe he has a long-term future at the club. I don't. I just don't see where he fits. Although, you obviously mentioned the forward line there. One thing he has got going for him is that he has played in the midfield as well. You know, how much that will be needed now Elliot's back is a different question. Yeah. But he does have that versatility. Yeah. And he does have a longer contract, which is why I would suggest, if anything's going to happen today, we might see Origi. And also, you know, Origi should have more interest in him, in my opinion. There should be clubs queuing around the block for Origi and not Minamino, you know. So that's where I'd fall on.
I'm pretty certain if you Google their, you know, go on YouTube and search for their highlight reels, Divock Origi's will just look more impressive because of where he's scoring the goals and who he's scoring them against.
That goal for Minamino, but just to say, on loan at Southampton against Chelsea, was boss. That was like the one moment whereby I thought, you know what, this lad could end up going here.
The one thing you know about him is his composure in the box. That missed it the week, notwithstanding, but like his, you know, his ability for times to slow down around him inside the hardest place to be with the ball on the pitch.
Yeah.
is quite uncanny. But we'll have to see on that one. Scott Hawks has sent a super chat in $37.50. Scott, thank you so much. An exciting transfer window. I've been grinning for days. Thanks for all the content. I'll add more depending on add-on clauses. Cheers. Boss.
37.5, that's the fee for Diaz.
Yeah.
There you go. So absolutely astonishing.
Yeah. Good work, that.
Good like work, that. Scott. That's brilliant. Went over my head completely. I'll have to admit. Gerard Carrot back again with another €5. Thank you so much. Speaking of tacky, having a Leeds fan that we've called off Rafinha and are willing to do business with Leeds if we get first refusal on Harrison. Is he the scout?
Jack Harrison, no. He went to America, didn't he, Jack Harrison? Played for City originally. Right. Scored the hat-trick recently against West Ham.
Yeah,
decent player. But the Rafinha point is a really interesting one, actually, because you always wonder when a club, Liverpool, sells someone to Leeds, whether they're saying in that conversation, we'll be back for Rafinha. You know the Minamino stuff?
Yeah.
We'll be back for Rafinha in the summer. Because you do favours like that, potentially. You know what goes on?
Well,
you
always say, people talk about that we've got a great relationship now with the Red Bull group, because of Naby.
Yeah.
Whereas at the time, if you remember, initially there was a lot of bad feeling around that, but that's been smoothed over with the transfer. We've got a good relationship with Porto because of Marko Grujic moving that way. You're right. So that is a very interesting point. Thanks so much for bringing that one to the table there. We've got a couple of points to get through then. Reece Williams, Sheffield United being linked. The words I'm hearing on this one is, if Nat goes, Reece will stay. If Nat stays, Reece will go. And I think that makes pretty reasonable sense. Yeah.
That's how it felt when Reece Williams came back from his loan, didn't it? It felt like he was coming back as the makeshift fifth choice if needed. Yeah. Obviously, Sheffield United have already got Ben Davis.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know you could loan two players from the same club. Obviously, you can in the Football League. Yeah.
There you go.
I know you can't do it in the Premier League, but I think he probably should go, if possible.
Yeah, I feel a bit sorry for him. We've had that a couple of times, haven't we, lately, where over the last couple of years, where players have gone with all the best intentions. Club seems a good fit, and then it just doesn't quite work out for them. But there's a good player there, and his development won't be harmed by having half a season in and around Liverpool's first team. See what he can do. Leighton Clarkson likely to stay. That's again what we're hearing at the moment on Leighton Clarkson. He had his loan cut short at Blackburn. It doesn't look like there's anything on the cards for him back out again. But you never know, that might change late door. So look, let's talk Fabio Carvalho. We had a latest, and it was from Carl Markham. Tweeted this one about 10-15 minutes ago, saying, seems like it is now or never in LFC's chase of Fulham's Fabio Carvalho. Club not keen to go through the compensation tribunal process again in the summer, especially with European clubs in a much stronger position to sign a player for a fraction of cost of any fee set by a panel. He's referring to a couple of points there, Dec. He's referring to, we went through this with Harvey Elliott as well and paid probably more than Liverpool would have liked. I think there was a similar thing with Danny Ings a few years ago as well. And obviously because of Brexit, the way in which transfers work, there's effectively what they're saying is there's more of a premium for him being signed within this country. So that is interesting that that's the kind of word coming out. There were obviously a lot of hoops to jump through this one, least of all that, you know, Liverpool, there's talk of Liverpool, the $5 million offer, but he'll stay at Fulham for the rest of the season because they're going for the title in the Championship at the moment. Not quite super optimistic, but again, it's also not saying the deal's dead yet.
Yeah, I think it is imperative that we loan them back because they're not going to do a deal otherwise. I don't think, why would they let them go to us now and risk potentially not getting promoted?
Yeah.
You know, for the sake of $5 million.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that, and that's the thing. Like I was saying about the Divock Origi stuff, mentioned this on a show yesterday, Dan, that if they let him go, the money they're going to get for him is so far dwarfed by the money you get for getting back into the Premier League. They should get up regardless, but you wouldn't want to destabilise that if you're Marco Silva.
100%. And that money is black and white, isn't it? Everyone knows the riches of getting back into the Premier League. Like, that is cut and dried, you know, a lot of money. And like Dec says there, compared to $5 million, you know, it's chalk and cheese. So they wouldn't want to destabilise it. And plus the fact, you know, from a Liverpool perspective, you look at him, he's having an impact on that side. Mm-hmm. The very good side, they're currently absolutely cruising the championship, if we're going to be honest. But I think 7 goals, 4 assists. He's 19, you know, in what is notoriously a difficult league to compete in.
Yes.
He's doing it with style in a very sort of elite manner, if that makes sense. He looks, you know, he looks top notch, doesn't he, on the ball. He gets the ball on the half turn all the time. He looks just brilliant. I mean, there's something I touched on Twitter a couple of weeks ago. He's got Philip Coutinho written all over him, in my opinion. People have said it a million times now. I'm not, you know, it's not groundbreaking stuff by any means, but that's just how he looks. When he gets the ball, he turns and he wants to play. He just looks brilliant.
Yeah. Can I just butt in there and say, he's all no Sam Maguire, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. He says that he's Coutinho used to dance past opponents to create chances for others. Carvalho slaloms past him to create opportunities for himself.
Well, yeah, good.
Very interesting, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's it. You know, he's 19 years old. He's the kind of player you can't see anything but him improving under the tutelage of Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp and what have you. Thought it was interesting in terms of his numbers. You mentioned there 19 appearances in all comps, one in the FA Cup, 7 goals and 4 assists. Largely played as exclusively, according to this player, as an attacking midfielder, which is interesting. When you compare to Harvey Elliott and how he did last season, okay, he played in the wing, but Harvey Elliott, 43 appearances all comps, 7 goals, 12 assists. Now, much more of a creative role for Harvey, of course, but playing in a more offensive, you know, potentially in a more offensive role. And we were raving about what Harvey was able to do in the Championship. So, yeah, it does, as far as levels go, it does speak very highly to him.
A lot of it, though, comes down to whether they can actually cut in the Premier League. Like, obviously, we've had a bit of mixed fortunes and we have players who've ripped up the Championship. Like, obviously, Harvey come in and in them first few games, he cemented the spot in the starting 11 and he looked like he was there on merit, shall we say. Like, it wasn't just because he was this up-and-coming talent. He literally slotted into the midfield almost seamlessly. But then we've had the likes of
Well, there's plenty of examples of lads we've sent. We've sent lads on loans to Championship. Some of them do really well, some of them don't do well. It's tough. You can't know. And that's why age is an important thing. The fact that he's young. And again, just having an eye for goal and the dribble and stuff. And it'll come. There'll be a process in place that they'll have an idea, hopefully, of how his development will go. Yeah. Liverpool are very good at this.
I was going to say, also in recent times, Liverpool's recruitment doesn't miss very often, does it? Which is why we're so excited about the Diaz signing. Yeah. And we're allowed to be excited about a potential Carvalho signing. The whole compensation stuff's interesting. I had a feeling Liverpool wouldn't fancy that route again because it got quite messy.
I don't think Fulham do either, though.
Well, they wouldn't, would they? Yeah.
We felt like we paid a lot for Elliott. I think they felt a bit burned by it, really. Yeah. But what I do want to say is, I've seen a lot of fans coming for Liverpool on Twitter saying, like, and even Liverpool fans, some of them saying, like, we're not planning for the future effectively. Once Klopp goes, Liverpool are going to be in the dust again and all this. Well, I think a lot of them now, I've seen a couple of tweets last night, a lot of them are worrying now and saying Liverpool are like going under the radar. This is the way you do recruit them. A lot of Man United fans were like, under Fergie, this is exactly what we do. We'd recruit like quality youngsters under the radar and then obviously they come unbelievable.
There's a lot of lads who've had to take FSG out of their Twitter headers, I think, in the last sort of 36
hours.
Must
do that.
I think it's one of them, innit? I think whichever side you're on of that fence, personally, I'm in the middle. Like some of the things they do wrong, some things they do right. So, and put it this way,
like
they're not.
Owner.
You could have many worse owners, let's put it that way.
Yeah, 100%. Just on the youth thing, I don't get that. Kate Gordon, Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott, potentially Fabio Carvalho, and Trent, but he's 23. That's scary. That.
And you've first got, big window for Michael Edwards replacements and Julian Ward, who could end up being.
It is very exciting, isn't it?
I completely agree. Speaking of exciting, we've got loads of exciting content for you over on RevMen Plus. Nailed it. Right now, and coming up today as well, if you want to head over to there, we've got a Fabio Carvalho Journo Insight that's going to be getting recorded and getting to be put out live, I believe, in the next half an hour. So that's going to be there for you. There's going to be the Craftsman of the Cop documentary coming very soon as well. We've also got a Porto journalist to talk more about Luis Diaz and his potential impact. And if you want to go deeper into Luis Diaz's stats and gain a little bit more insight into what kind of footballer he is and how he stacks up against what Liverpool have got already and how he's likely to fit in, then there's a Luis Diaz stats show special. If you want to try it out for free, we've been pushing this this all weekend. We're just feeling the vibes. We're feeling happy. We're feeling the love. So that code will run until tonight, all the way up to tonight. You get a free month. Go over to theredmentv.com. Join Redmen Plus as a club captain. And if you use the code Diaz, D-I-A-Z, all caps, then you get it completely free for a month. And that will include the build-up all the way to the League Cup final as well. So we've got podcast series, documentaries, features, interviews, and all the usual raft of pre- and post-match content on our Liverpool streaming service, Redmen Plus, and you can try it entirely free for a month because we love Liverpool and Luis Diaz. So yes, use that code over there. Go as a club captain and get your first month completely free to try it all out. But yes, those inside shows are going to be getting recorded. They're stacked this afternoon, so pretty much after this, I believe it's Fulham up. Joe, it's Fulham up next, right? Brilliant. Well done, Joe. Fulham up next. Steve, you've got Fulham up next. 5 minutes. Right, we need to get off because we've got the Fulham insight. So yeah, head over there right now. Use the code Diaz. Sign up and get some insight into Fabio Carvalho almost instantly. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. That's been a pleasure. If more news breaks, rest assured, we will have it covered both here and on Redmen Plus. Yeah, have a wonderful afternoon. Thank you to everyone who's watched and commented and dropped likes and all that good stuff. See you all soon. Ta-ra.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.